Welcome to Food for Thought. I'm Dee Dee McGrail.
And I'm Laura Mangone.
And
do you remember your name?
I have a hard time every time. I have to kind of think about my stage name. Yes.
Yeah, I know.
So for people who wonder why, you silly little podcaster, do you have to have a stage name? And it's because I've worked for different companies as a chef, and sometimes I like to talk trash about them. Right. So just, I'd rather go by another name.
If anybody's
name.
Listening, they would know your voice, though. I mean, I think you have a pretty
But now that I'm a retired chef.
I know. It's so exciting.
So exciting to be a retired chef.
So how did it go when you spoke to them about leaving? Were they understanding of the fact that, you know, they weren't adhering to the safety measures and you were uncomfortable?
Well, I did give them the opportunity. I really did not think that we needed to speak on the phone, but I said, absolutely. After reading my email, if you would like to speak on the phone, I'm happy to. But the text that I got back from them, because I texted them first and then I told them to please check the email for a detailed explanation. And the text back was something to the effect of, well, I really wish we had known this because we passed on another candidate to go with you, which I was like, yeah, so.
So get in touch with the other candidate.
Yeah, and then she said, and I know you had a lot of other commitments or things going on. And I think she was talking about, because I happened to mention that I teach a couple of classes a week. And I was like, it was never in conflict with my schedule, you know.
No, that's like free time stuff.
Yeah. So I didn't even respond to it. You know, they did not address the mask thing whatsoever.
They didn't. That's what I was curious if they ever, like, you know, realized, hello. Yeah.
But I'm hoping that the chef who asked me, and it was kind of funny, did I tell you, and I had texted my Zoom text in the morning, yeah, inviting people to come to Zumba via Zoom at 8 o'clock or whatever. And so then I get a text back from this guy, Art, who I'm thinking he's Art from my Zumba class, because there's a guy, Art, who used to take my Zumba class, but it was the chef. And I was like, oh gosh, that's right, there's another Art. So the chef said, I heard about what happened, you know, could you please send me an email with an explanation? And it was worded very nicely. It wasn't like, tell me what that, you know, it was like, he just really genuinely wanted to know what happened. So, and then he said, and if you don't mind, could you take me off your Zumba list?
Oh God. So you have him on
the texting. I have been texting the wrong Art all week about my Zumba class, which is, you know, like the regional chef, you know?
That's funny. I mean, technically, you know, you could have called the health department on them.
I know.
I mean, if this was out and if people knew that they were running their facility without people having masks on, there would be a big uproar.
Well,
not to mention fines. I mean, they could be closed down. Look at all the places in the city that are getting closed down because they're opening up too quickly and people are not adhering.
I just didn't want that responsibility, Laura. I felt like one of the things that the health department, the Board of Health told me in the state of Pennsylvania was that the studies are showing now, anyway, that the chances of a food service worker giving a resident or any customer COVID-19 via food handling, whether it be breathing over the food, touching the plate or whatever, is very unlikely. But when that, she said, that being said, that's what we know now. And so when you're talking about an assisted living, not just any old restaurant, that's where I think the law might not say that you have to adhere to this, but this would be our recommendation.
But in a nursing facility?
In a nursing facility.
That's,
yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, COVID actually was, you know, and potentially ended my career in the food business because, you know, if I wind up doing this nanny gig, ideally, here's my perfect situation. And Laura, I have like 4 prospects that I'm talking to right now. And you should see how some of these people are like drooling over the fact that I'm, oh, I also happen to be a retired chef. They're like,
professional chef. Yeah.
You know, it's like jackpot, right? Unfortunately, a lot of them, you know, not everybody can afford, you know, it was personal chef work in central, where I am in central Jersey, Eastern Pennsylvania. For local work, the going rate was about $40 an hour. And right. that was and that was well researched, you know, with the competition and whatnot. And right. then with if you were to go into New York City or Philadelphia, it was closer to 50 to 75, somewhere in there is what people expected.
60.
And so, you know, to get a nanny at $25 an hour, who also can do awesome meals for you, I think is a really good deal. However, 25 is probably a little bit on the higher end in terms of nanny work. So I'm really trying to stand firm to, I want to make 25 because I think it's still a really, it's a tremendous deal. I'm more than just a nanny. To have a nanny and a chef rolled up in one is awesome. And also, but on the flip side, when you're getting 30, 40 hours a week from someone, very often your rate does come down.
Right, you know? Exactly. So,
you know, if guaranteed work, I have to sort of balance that. But yeah, I'm excited to just even talk to people who are so excited about the prospect, you know.
That's great. That's great. And then, do they all have a lot of children, or is it?
Well, there's one, I'm going to be meeting with 4 families over the next 2 weeks. And one is a full-time position, pretty much 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, which is nice to get out at 5. So excited about the idea of having some meals done. But the kids are 5, 4, and 2.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So
you might want to really rethink this.
Okay, I know. The other family, it's 30 hours a week, $20 an hour. We have 2 kids, 6 and 10. Much easier, right?
Much easier.
And another family has 2 kids around 6 and 10, 30 hours a week. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's like 11 to 5 Monday through Friday.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
So, you know, but then I'm thinking,
are these positions just for the summer? Or
no,
because like, if the kids, if they're 6 to 10, they're both in school during those hours.
Yeah, but the thing is, nobody knows whether their kids are going back to school right now.
Right.
So they're planning as if some of them, the reason why the position is part-time, they're just trying to figure it out. So but I don't think the hours would change. They kind of want someone there. So even if they're, you know, because if 5-year-olds have half-day kindergarten, you know, it's not like a full, you know, school day. And the little ones, if they have any kind of like preschool, it's usually a couple hours. So they'll probably
But 6 to 10, or you know, they're in second grade and fifth grade, if it's school time, they are in school. You're just schlepping, and maybe prepping meals at home.
Well, I might be able to.
You better load your little pocketbook with all sorts of activity information and.
I know.
Games and activities to do with them and crafts. And oh my God, I would be so into that part of it. See, I'll come and tie dye with you one day if you want.
I'm not a big craft person, although I would be willing to learn, you know, to just, you know, I was never that kind of mom, you know, that like highly super engaged all the time, you know, crafts and this and that. And playing and throwing the ball.
Well, you can have Aunt Laura come on a Wednesday afternoon and do crafts for a few hours. I'm
good at this job, Laura.
I have had many people tell me I should have been a kindergarten teacher, because I actually, aside from the fact that I don't know that, I don't know, I would have been good at it, I guess.
Well, you know, it's funny.
I do like all that stuff.
I think there's a correlation between, when I was 18 years old in high school, they did some sort of test for you to decide what would be a good
Right, your aptitude, what are you leaning towards because of your abilities?
And for me, they said a nurse. And so when I became a chef, someone pointed out to me that makes total sense, because this, it's a nurturing career. It's like right. You like to take care of people with food. You want to make them happy with food. And it's a nurturing component. And I think perhaps the same is true for, maybe that's why I'm gravitating toward the nanny stuff. And then my kids tease me. They're like, Mom, you were pulling your hair out when we were little. And it's like, well, yeah, but you guys were 24/7.
Right.
You know, I think it's different when you're older and you get to go home at the end of the day. Let Mom and Dad deal with bath time and, you know, bedtime and all that stuff.
That's exciting. That is very exciting.
Yeah. And then I'm talking to another gal who, and I can completely relate to her. It's her first baby. And the baby is 3 months old, so when she goes back to work, it's going to be in September, and she's not sure. She might have to be commuting into Hoboken every single day from Hopewell. And she's very conflicted. She's just like, you know, it's my first baby. I just, you know, I'm hoping I can work from home a couple days so that, like, between meetings, I can at least run down and give him a hug. And you know, so I really feel for these ladies. I mean, ideally, I'd get a client who, yes, needed a nanny for at least 30 to plus hours a week, but also loved to entertain. And the fact that they would pay me additionally for, like, dinner parties and stuff, that would be, like,
an
amazing situation. But I think it's so much different than any other kind of, you know, chef job, because when you're dealing with this kind of an intimate position, it's not about the demand of the job or how much cooking I'm going to be doing or how much, you know, how old the kids are. It's much more about the relationship between
the relationship and the demands of the family and the whole dynamic. Absolutely. You're going to become a member of their family.
Right. And I'm realizing that I'm going to have to be upfront and say, hey, I'm a liberal, by the way. Is that going to be a problem? You know,
I don't know if that would be a problem.
How
often do you talk politics with your employer?
And I wouldn't.
Right.
But I think I would have to be just like when Sheila, remember when I moved into Sheila's property, she said to me, I have to ask you, honey, are you one of those? You're not one of those Tea Party people, are you? Because I don't think I could have a Tea Party person living in my cottage.
Really?
So, yeah. And so since then, that was, oh my gosh, what year is it? It's 2020. So that was 2014, 2013, 2014. Okay. So we hadn't even, it was pre-
7 years ago, it was pre- bipartisanship.
Yeah. It was pre-Trump.
Or partisanship, I should say.
Yeah, it was pre-Trump. And now things have gotten so much more divisive that I think it'd be smart for me to say that. I would also say, you know, by the way, technically I'm not a liberal. I mean, I'm a registered independent and never wanted to change that. I actually never want to change that because I would vote for a Republican in a heartbeat. But I vote for the person and I vote
for policy and
all that stuff, but more for the person.
I totally agree.
So I think I got to make that really clear, especially with an intimate situation like this, you know, and no, I'm not going to talk politics with you unless you want, but, you know, but anyway.
Well, that's exciting.
It is exciting. I'm really.
And you're moving. This is all you're having a very exciting part of your life right now.
Yeah. And this, I can't wait. I'm going to go today to take some pictures. I'll send you the picture.
Oh, nice.
But it's a lovely apartment. I mean, it's
that's great.
It's really nice. I can't wait to have you guys over for dinner. But so I wanted to talk to you a little bit about my nudie. Oh, we're running out of time. Yeah.
No, no, we have time for your nudie.
Okay, then, just the nudie story. I think I have perfected my nudie.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
And because, you know, Laura, there's so many, and we might have to run this into the next segment. There's so many different recipes for nudie. Now, there's one that's, but I can't remember his name, but a pretty renowned chef did this one. And he claims that in his restaurant that they dry their nudie. I almost said noonie. That's what I call my, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on.
He dries his nudie in the refrigerator for 3 days. And he's adamant that he needs 3 days.
Well, that's okay.
And so
we make it and then freeze it.
And you freeze. Okay, so there's all these different little variations. So I think I have decided, although I think I wanna try it again. Here's what I did. So I took this time I paid attention and I used a really good quality ragout, which apparently is very important that you use a good, dense, 100% whole milk, good quality ragout. Don't use a store brand. Use the good stuff.
Yep.
I actually also took some paper towels and I got a lot of the moisture out of it, which was very easy to do just in a sieve. You just push down with paper towels.
Yep.
And, you know, you put in about a cup, you know, the 4 cups of ragout, 1 cup of Parmesan, you put in about a cup of flour.
Yeah.
Adding a little more flour, like coming to realize what the texture needs to be like, is also helpful just with anything. Yeah. You know, you just have to get to know the feel of it. But then when I very generously dredged them in the final coat of flour, that after they dried and I let them sit in the refrigerator overnight, what I realized is that very generous coating of flour actually permeated the dumpling and it creates there was definitely about a 16th to an eighth of an inch on the outer perimeter of the dumpling that was more dense, and I think that is that generous coating of flour that was absorbed into the noodle. Now that's great for are we running out of time?
We are running out of time. Let's finish it in the next segment.
We'll finish it up and
I'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and medical expenses are covered. If you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over 60, call 24/7 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Grant, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $750 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill for the name brand again. Get generic Sildenafil for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-590-0443 today and save up to $650 and get 50 pills for just $99. Generic Sildenafil is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
The Home Service Club sponsors this paid advertisement. Attention homeowners. Broken AC? Water heater? Pool pump? Fridge on the fritz? You need home warranty coverage from the Home Service Club. HSC provides coverage for up to 47 different appliances and systems in your home for around $1 a day, backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote and get your first month free, plus $75 off your first year. 800-465-9181. 800-465-9181. That's 800-465-9181.
right, we're back. So the extra toss dusting that you put on it, Phil, yeah, you felt like it got absorbed?
Yeah, like I definitely this time was much more generous on the flour coating, on the final flour coating. And I could tell a significant difference. Now, there's got pros and cons. The pros is that I really felt there was no possibility that these nudies were going to fall apart. And I have had that happen.
Did you have eggs in it?
Yes, but I even read on this guy's recipe, the one who claims you got to dry them for 3 days. This chef also said there's nothing more frustrating than when your nudie disintegrate in the boiling water. So I know it's a thing that happens. And, you know, maybe you just haven't had it happen to you. But so on the one hand, that extra generous coating of flour kind of, and the dry time, and the fact that I dried the rigotte too, I think made it like impossible for those to break up. But on the negative side, it also wasn't as sort of soft and melt in your mouth as my last.
Yeah, it would make it tougher. Yeah, it would make it tougher. Obviously, it's
the outer edge. The outer edge was a little tougher, but it was.
I don't put any flour on the outside.
No,
I mix ricotta, eggs, parsley, salt, pepper, and Parmesan. A little bit of flour. I really don't put a lot. I only put enough flour for the mixture to sort of come away from the bowl or come away from the board. And I roll big snakes and I cut it and I put it on a sheet pan and I put it in the freezer for about an hour and then I cook them.
To 5 cups of cheese. So that's 4 cups of rigotte, 1 cup of Parmesan. Every recipe I've read calls for either 3/4 of a cup of flour or 1 cup.
I don't put that much. No. But for that amount, I'd probably put 5 eggs.
Maybe your egg is more.
I would put like five eggs in there.
So you're counting on the binder, or you're heavily relying on the binding power of the egg more than you are the flour.
I am, because I think it makes it, you know, the texture of them is melt in your mouth, like they're super soft.
Right.
And the fact that I freeze them for an hour before I cook them also is helping to hold them together. They cook without falling apart.
Okay. So I looked up and now I can't wait to try this, but did you know that you can make no carb nudie with coconut flour?
You can make it with you can make gluten-free with any kind of flour.
Yeah, but coconut flour doesn't have any carbs. It has very little.
Yeah.
So you can have a portion, you could have like nice 5 or 6 little nudie with like 4 grams of carbs. So I am definitely going to try
doing that. Good.
One of the ingredients, and this is where I need your help, called for xanthan gum. Now, I have never put xanthan gum in anything. What is your
experience? I use xanthan gum every time I make something gluten-free because the elasticity that you get from the gluten in flour is missing, obviously, if you're using a potato flour or coconut flour or a rice flour. You don't have that element, that umami, that elasticity. So that's what xanthan gum does, or guar gum.
What is xanthan gum?
It's a derivative of, I think they do it from a certain vegetable starch, and it's basically extracted like you would extract starch from a potato and dried.
Right.
And it's just a powder. So for if I'm making something
natural.
It's natural. It's not a chemical, you know, it's a natural product. So pretty much for every cup or cup and a half of gluten-free, whatever type of gluten-free flour you would use a teaspoon of xanthan or guar.
Okay, I'm gonna definitely.
Yeah. It's pretty important. It's that's why when you eat gluten-free baked goods, sometimes they don't have that lusciousness they don't have that mouthfeel to them because that's what's missing is the gluten.
Well. One company I worked for, they made the best gluten-free bread that I have ever had in my life. Mm-hmm. And their secret, they did not use xanthan gum, but they used mozzarella cheese to provide the elasticity in the bread.
Yeah, that's true. You can use cheese. Actually, if you're vegan and you want to make fake cheese, I'm confusing vegan and using and making cheese, like making Parmesan cheese, which is with a nut mixture. But yes, cheese can be used just like you could use, you know, if you're making a zucchini bread or a banana bread, those items are replacing the moisture. It's all about the ingredient that you're trying to substitute. So right. You want to get the same effect, the same mouthfeel from whatever the substitute is. So yeah, cheese is a
perfect. Yeah, and the recipe that called for xanthan gum was using rice flour. The recipe mm-hmm. that was using coconut flour did not call for xanthan gum, but I think I'm going to add it anyway.
You could try it without, only because, you know, look at the consistency of coconut and the, you know, if you're, you know, think about when you have a soup and you want to thicken a soup, you could use potato starch, you could use coconut flour, you could use any sort of a gluten flour, but it's all about the consistency that you're arriving at. So I would try it, you know, coconut may have the properties that are going to give you that mouthfeel without using the guar gum or the xanthan gum.
Yeah, so, and one last question about nudie and then we'll move on to something else, but have you ever had sheep's milk ragout?
I have, and I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of sheep's, I don't like sheep, like I don't like goat cheese, I'm not a fan of it.
You're not a fan of Romano?
No.
Really?
Really. There's a flavor to it that I'm not a fan of.
Yes, because to me, goat cheese is completely different than a sheep's milk cheese. Like sheep's milk cheese, like Idiazabal or... Greek one. I love it. But anyway, I don't even know where to get it.
I am not a fan.
But where would you get it?
I don't know.
It's not in ShopRite, I know that. So do you go to an Italian market?
You probably could go to an Italian market. I'm sure Murray's has it, right?
Maybe. So anyway, have you been cooking up a storm lately? Any recipes to talk about?
I have not been cooking up a storm. My quarantine mates have left the building over a week ago. They moved into their new apartment. And I think I cooked once this week.
Wow. So you've been
Mario getting... I've been taking a lot of stuff out of the freezer. As you know, when I do cooking, I do, you know, pack up a lot of pouches of things and freeze. Mario's been bringing food home. And we had on Father's Day, we had a get together at my sister-in-law's house for my father-in-law, and as usual came home with, you know, a million leftovers. We had chicken, we had sausage, we had meatballs, we had pasta, we had all kinds of stuff that we've sort of been eating slowly every day.
You're still getting together with family and stuff inside?
No, this was the first time, and it was, we were separated. It was all adhering to, yeah, no, it was the first time we got together. And actually yesterday I drove to Easton and I was with my brother and sister-in-law on their deck for about an hour and a half, you know, distanced, just chit-chatting, had a nice visit. And then I went to my other brother's house who's nearby and visited with my sister-in-law and my niece, and she was having a little get together with all her church ladies. They usually on a certain day they get together, and now they haven't been doing it for quite some time, but now they're starting to in people's backyards and keeping outside, keeping distance.
But the bummer is, you know, that I think about it, as when this thing, you know, when the shit hit the fan with COVID-19, it was pretty much the beginning of March. So far for the only holidays, so we had Easter, and that was really hard for people, you know, not going to Easter Sunday church, not seeing the extended family. Mother's Day and Father's Day. Okay, so we got through those three. And the beauty of, you know, Mother's Day and Father's Day is, you know, it gets warm enough where you can have something outside. So you can, you can be with your family and be with them responsibly. But what are we going to do for Thanksgiving and Christmas?
Well, I don't know. We're going to see where we are at that point, I guess. We'll see.
You know?
We have to see where we are at that point. I'm just happy that the weather has been so nice. You know, we've had all these threatening thunderstorms, and last week at Chambers Walk, we were able to open up our outside. So we have, you know, 10, 12 tables outside, and they're appropriately spaced and whatnot. And we've been doing lunch and dinner Thursday through Saturday. Actually, on Father's Day, we did service on Father's Day. And it's been great. Like, people have been really receptive. We have a lot of people coming out and appreciating that we're open and they can come out and safely dine. And we're still doing takeout. So our takeout business is really, you know, maintained, even though we're open for the outside seating. But, you know, all these thunderstorms that have been in the forecast over the past weeks, we're screwed. You know, if it rains, this is not happening. So we are totally weather dependent.
Now, let me ask you this, because I saw another restaurant, another friend of mine that owns a restaurant in Hopewell, and she made a Facebook post, and she said, you know, to our, you know, wonderful customers, we respectfully request, now that we have outdoor dining, we respectfully request that you, when you enter the restaurant, because sometimes you have to go through the restaurant, that you wear a mask.
Yep.
And that when you get up from your table to use the restroom, we ask that you also wear a mask. And then the meme that she shared under that was a quote by Tony Bourdain that said, "I am not afraid to look like an idiot." And I think her point was, like, I don't care. If there's
backlash,
or you don't agree with me, or you have issue, this is what we're doing,
and that's what everyone should be doing. We were going to go out. Mario is anxious to go to a couple of the restaurants in Princeton that have just opened up their outdoor, just to see how they're doing things. You know, just see if there's anything different that we can pick up on. But same, you know, masks must be worn entering, exiting. If you leave your table, when you're at your table, you don't need to have your mask on because you're obviously with your quarantine, whoever you've been quarantining with, and distance is being kept between tables. But absolutely. I mean, I'm shocked at the amount of people that still are not wearing masks and thinking this is all just hooey.
It's really mind-boggling to me. And I think I'm myself included, I'm getting to the level of profoundly fed up with that sort of, because, and I was bold and I know I shouldn't do this, but there was a Facebook page that I belong to, a ladies group, and someone had posted something like, you know, I don't understand why people are still having such a problem. And I commented, I have come to the realization that it's either ignorance or it's belligerence or it's both in conjunction with one another. And of course I got some nasty comments on that one, but I'm sorry, it's true. You are not educated. It's ignorant. It's you have to, and is it impossible for people to think that, oh, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I need to learn more. No interest in
figuring that out. No, people just have their opinions and they will be unwavering in their opinion.
Right, and I'll just stay ignorant and screw you.
Yeah, I mean, just even look at the situation with the testing, like all these states that opened up that didn't close down, that didn't adhere to anything. They all had you know, they were having a free for all down in Florida. Well, now look what's happening in Florida. My girlfriend is a doctor in a medical center in near Orlando, and granted, it's a retirement community. It's called the Villages. It's a really big community of elderly people, but she is like, this is what you reap what you sow, people. Like, no one was adhering to what should have been done, and look what's happening now.
All right, we're running.
When we come back, we're
going to talk about a few Sri Lankan dishes, because I'm not too familiar with the cuisine, when we come back.
Okay, we'll be back.
I can't get my computer to work.
Let me help you with that.
How'd you do that?
I just got techie with Geeks On Site.
Our geeks literally come on site. No need to stop what you're doing or block off time. We come to your home, office, or wherever you are. And we don't just fix whatever computer issues you might be having. We explain and teach you along the way.
We'll help you instantly. Call 844-606-8411. That's 844-606-8411.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. That's 1-855-398-1754.
Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for just $99. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
Okay, we're back.
We're back.
Yeah, let's talk about Sri Lanka.
Sri Lankan food. So yes, before we started the show, we were discussing, it's not only the obvious influences of India and Eastern Asia, but there was also some influences from, not Mediterranean, did they say Dutch countries, or there was some other countries?
Well, because it was along the spice trail, you know, all of the, everybody that came through, any foreign traders that were going through on the spice road, quote unquote, you know, to buy spices, trade spices, that was the biggest influence in the area. So every culture, every ethnic group that came through the area,
they had some sort of influence.
Had some sort of influence on their cuisine and their cultural traditions. So yeah, lots of spices.
Now here's a couple of ingredients, and I have of course seen these before, but I've actually never used them. This is, it's called turmeric boost and curry leaf wok charred prawns, which is kind of a mouthful.
It's shrimp.
Yeah. So they use coconut oil, black mustard seeds, which I honestly don't know if I've ever used those, chilies, a quarter cup lightly packed fresh curry leaves. What are fresh curry? I'm imagining fresh curry leaves taste nothing like ground curry.
No, they are.
They do.
Curry is ground curry leaves. And they're actually, they're really beautiful. They, I've seen them in the flower district in the city. They use curry leaves from the curry tree often. It looks like bay leaves. They're really pretty. I'll put a picture on our post today because curry leaves. They're very pretty and they're just dried and ground.
I bet it says fresh curry leaves.
Yeah, I'm saying when we use curry.
Oh, we dry them and ground.
We dry them and they're dried and ground.
Yeah, I definitely want to see what, I'm sure there's a difference. So I want to try that. Also, I've never used fresh turmeric.
Turmeric. I have not used fresh. I've only used ground.
Okay, you've never used fresh?
I have not.
I've never even seen it. So, I have to kind of try this recipe because, my goodness, there's three things in there that I've actually never used. So, and, you know, this is, I wish now that my unemployment has come through, I can actually afford to, like, do some serious shopping and get unusual ingredients like before.
Yeah, we should, if the Asian market's open, we should take a field trip one day. Turmeric, I have seen fresh turmeric and it pretty much looks just like fresh ginger. It's like the root that you would scrape the outside off and then grate it. Has that same color, you know, as ground. It's very pungent orange.
Now, I would love to do a class trip to the Asian market, to like one of the big ones.
I would love to.
This recipe, now I've never, this is another ingredient that we've talked about on the show that I still haven't gotten around to using, and it's jackfruit.
I like jackfruit. I've had jackfruit in the islands. They have a lot of jackfruit.
It's usually canned, right?
It's canned, but you can get it fresh, and it's very interesting because it has like a creaminess to it. It's almost, I can't describe it. It almost is like custardy.
Huh.
It's a smooth consistency.
Is it sweet?
It is sweet, yeah.
Okay. Because this one calls young jackfruit, this calls for a fresh jackfruit. And in the note, it says, if young jackfruit isn't available, you can use 1 kilogram of drained canned young jackfruit in brine instead, which will reduce cooking time.
Right.
So it also calls for raw curry powder, which I had never heard of raw curry powder. Uh-huh. I would imagine that's the fresh leaves ground raw.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure. I wonder what the difference is between that flavor.
Exactly.
Between fresh and dried. I'm sure it's got the same, you know, think of anything, whether it's dried or, you know, it can become more potent. It can be less potent, but it's the same flavor.
Right. And then it
jackfruit. You know what I love about jackfruit? When you crack open a jackfruit, and I'll put a picture of the jackfruit on our post today because they really are like, they look like they came from outer space. When you open it up, it has all these like little segments in it that look like teeny little brains.
Okay.
They do. They're bizarre looking on the inside.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Here's another couple of ingredients. This is kind of blowing my mind that there's so many ingredients that I've not used. 2 pieces of dried guaraca or 1/2 teaspoon of guaraca paste.
Now, I don't know what guaraca is.
Guaraca is a sour tropical fruit, sometimes called brindleberry or Malabar.
Oh, yeah. I know what that is.
You do?
I know what brindleberry is. I didn't know. How do you spell the other name of it?
Goraka. Yeah. So, and then I think there was one more. Oh, and they don't even have a note on this one. 1/2 of a pandan leaf, PANDAN. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
So I think we need to buy all this shiitake and make something.
I think we need to do a field trip to the Indian market or the Asian market. And yeah. and check it all out.
This is an egg curry, which sounded so delicious. It's a curry that's made with ginger, tomatoes, coconut milk, and the egg part is hard-boiled eggs.
Okay, that's gross to me. Sorry. So look how cool the inside of a jackfruit looks.
Oh, it looks like little brains, just like
I said. Little
cauliflowers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So another vegetarian dish, and I thought this would be a nice combination. It's basically like they consider this to be very similar to a dal, but it's split pea and cauliflower curry. So basically it's what you would imagine. So it's
that sounds delicious.
Yeah, coconut oil. And it's kind of a base. So you make this curry and it's like a puree and it's made with turmeric and cumin seeds and chilies and coconut oil. But then and coconut milk. But then you can, you know, make that for a base and add other veggies to it, which I thought sounded really yummy.
That sounds delicious. I like the cauliflower. I mean, I would like that with cauliflower and like green peas and chickpeas. And doesn't that sound good?
Yeah, this is a split pea.
I mean, basically, if you made a base of curry and put anything in it, I would be very happy. I love curry.
Right. Right. And this one was, which I've never done a curry of crab, but I thought this sounded interesting. So it calls for freshly grated coconut, tamarind pulp, mm-hmm. Mustard seeds, and I'm trying to find out which these, so a whole bunch of seeds and ground seeds, cumin, fennel, cardamom, et cetera, pandan leaves, curry leaves, cinnamon stick, curry powder, cumin, and then blue swimmer crab. So the crabs are whole, which I thought, well, that's got to be a pain in the neck.
Yeah, I love cleaning crabs.
Yeah.
I do. I love eating crabs, so I love cleaning crabs. Yeah.
No, no, I mean, I get real impatient. I remember growing up when I thought I was Italian, and Pop would make when we would have a crab fest, basically.
Crab and pasta.
Crab with, pasta.
My favorite.
And you just line the, you know, picnic tables with newspaper, and there's, you know, you just go to town on those crabs.
So
and that's
good.
That's kind of the way you need to do it, though, because it's such a mess.
When I make we go crabbing, and I do go crabbing every year, I usually clean the crabs, so I have the bodies and the legs, and, you know, separated. And I make a quick marinara, and I put them in there and cook it in it, and then I throw it over a big thing of linguine, and just, you know, suck on those legs and eat the body, and oh, so delicious. So I'm not just eating the crab, I'm eating pasta underneath the crab.
Yeah, I did
that delicious crab sauce on the pasta.
I made crab cakes last week for when my kids came over, and I made a little crab cakes with peach and cucumber salsa, which turned out really good. And the crab, I used the claw, and you know what? Sometimes I understand why the lump is more expensive. I get it. You know, it's more succulent. There's bigger chunks of that white. Now, another reason why the lump is more expensive is not just the succulent factor, but it's also because of the color. It's the color. Because it's the more appealing, pure white color. I'll tell you what, though. Sometimes I almost prefer a crab cake made out of the claw.
Really?
Just the
I don't like claw meat at all.
No?
No, I think claw meat is rubbery. I don't like it. I don't think it's as succulent as the lump.
Well, this was definitely
and obviously the lump is more expensive because of the labor involved. You know, getting the meat out of a body is more difficult than getting the meat out of a claw. No, I don't like, especially the tips of the claw. Don't you find that to be rubbery?
I think more so when I'm eating a whole crab that's been boiled. But when you get the canned stuff, they're not chewy at all, and they kind of just falls apart.
It's
much more shredded. Like, it doesn't have that white chunk you know, that feel.
I like that. Yeah, I kind of like that white chunk.
The flavor, I just thought was so good. Here's one last dish, and this one just sounds so amazing to me. It's got a Sri Lankan name of Kotu Roti, and that's two words, A-O-T-T-U. Second word is R-O-T-I. Fresh ginger, chilies.
Oh, curry. It's a roti, but it's roti.
Yes.
Right?
I've never made that.
You've never had a roti?
Oh, no.
So delicious.
No, it's crazy. And it calls for bok choy and cabbage and carrots. And then you get to the seafood and it's prawns and fish and mussels and squid and octopus. And oh my God, this sounds amazing to me. But I don't see, there's no coconut in this. Mm-hmm. Vegetable oil, onion, garlic. So it's mostly just the chilies and the ginger. But,
and that's the filling for the roti, because generally the roti has a flat bread and it's filled.
Right, it calls for naan.
So that's just the filling. Okay.
Oh, that's the definition.
It's like a taco. It's like you make the filling and it goes into the flatbread. And sometimes the flatbread can be rolled. Sometimes the flatbread is so thin that it's almost like a pasta, like you're making a large raviolo, sort of. It's like, so whatever those ingredients you're talking about, they get combined and then you put it into, it's almost like a hand pie. It's like a meat pie.
Right.
I mean, all the roti I've had have been either chicken curry, beef curry. I've had them with goat. I've had them with vegetables, but it's the roti itself is the component. It's like with the bread on the outside and those yummy stuff, yummy on the inside.
Well, you know what I would like to do in preparation for our class trip, one of the things that frustrates me when I go to Asian markets, the good ones, is that a lot of the stuff, I don't know what to do with it. I've either not heard of it, I can't read it, it's all in another language.
So then I'm the perfect person for you to go with because I talk to everybody.
Well, no, Laura, have you been to the Asian markets where you start talking to them and they're like, they just shake their heads? Like,
no, because every time I go there, I talk and I just keep talking and I get it out of them, whether they want to talk or not. I delve into it and I suck them out and I suck out the information.
Maybe, I mean,
not taking no for an answer.
Where do you go though?
I've gone to, on the Lower East Side, I've gone to Asian markets. In the Caribbean, I go to crazy markets where I don't know where anything is. In Europe, I've gone to markets where I'm like, even if there's a language barrier, I will get the
information. All right, so
kind of a field trip because I want to learn.
What I would like to do, because I'm going to actually save these recipes. I know we're getting low on time. I'm going to save these recipes and I'm going to write down all of the ingredients that I had never used, like fresh curry leaves and all that stuff, fresh tamarind, pandal, whatever, you know, and we're going to make a trip.
We'll
make a list, not only for the Sri Lankan, but let's look up some other Indian dishes and Asian dishes where we haven't heard of a particular ingredient and let's buy it and let's make it.
I am on board.
Okay.
We're going to have to do a couple of video shows. So
I know.
We'll tape our field trip and once we get home, we'll tape what we're making with it. Absolutely. Totally on board.
You know, I have a new idea. I think we should do, like little tours, like bring, like get a little bus and we'll all put on our face masks and we'll make it like a trip. And we'll bring out people and we'll bring them through the Asian market and we will educate them about every single ingredient.
I'm on board.
Okay.
This is like the 16,000th idea that I've had about things to do. And we'll see where that falls in the list of, you know, my, my Cajun food truck that I'm going to do, and our seafood business that we're going to make seafood stock.
Oh, and did you mention we're running out of time, but you bought us.
I did. We are totally running out of time, but if anybody's looking for fish stock, we're always talking that we can't find it anywhere. I purchased on Amazon. It's called Better Than Bouillon, which I know the product. They have it in stores, but they don't usually have the fish stock, and it is available on Amazon.
And yes, and if you're used to Better Than Bouillon, which is a very good product, I get the lobster base, don't like it. So I can't wait to try this base. So, anyway, we're out. We're out of time.
We're out. We'll talk to you next week. Everybody have a good week.
Have a good week. Thanks for listening.
Eat well.